We're going to get started this morning, go back over. I still have entitled here, I haven't changed it. I just don't, God's talking to me a lot of stuff. But anyhow, above all things, because really, I have a prophecy that I gave out this morning. Mike last week told me he had been listening to Billy Brim, and Billy Brim talked about this prophecy, which I really found was interesting. Last Sunday, Mike said about it. So I went home and looked the prophecy up. And I thought it was really interesting because I had some things of excerpts from this prophecy, but had never over the years heard anybody talk about full prophecy, what it was, where it came out of. I just thought these other ones were short things that Brother Hagin had said in some meetings. But to sit down and it's the Longmont prophecy was by Kenneth Hagin. And I think that's in Colorado, isn't it, Longmont? I'm pretty sure it's Colorado is where he was at, was ministering. And he gave this prophecy. And it's very interesting because, and we want to talk about it this morning. I wasn't going to specifically talk about it in church, but the other morning, the Spirit of the Lord woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was, you know, just sort of minding my own business, sawing off Z's, and it's one of those things. I just woke up and was wide awake. I just woke up, and I hadn't gone to bed till about 1 o'clock, and I woke up at 5, so I knew it wasn't because I was. My body probably didn't want to sleep. And I just was really wide awake, and I looked over at the clock, and it was just a few minutes after 5. So, and I just laid there. It's one of those things, when those happen, I usually like to turn to the inside, and I said, Lord, what's going on? What do you want? And the Lord began to speak to me about this prophecy. He began to talk to me about it and say some things about this prophecy. And I want to share some things this morning about this prophecy. It took place in 1974, so it was in October 1974, so if you look back, I mean, that's quite a few years ago that this prophecy was spoken, and we're going to go into the prophecy, but first of all, the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to share some things here concerning the Word. In Hebrews, the first chapter, I want to share something because in a direction we're going, because, you know, there's things that we know. But there are certain things we want to share. You know, we put our messages online, and when people read them, there's a lot of people don't know what you know. There's a lot of people don't believe what you do. In a body of Christ, a lot of people don't believe what you believe. A lot of believers aren't taught the Bible. And they sit in churches and are never taught the Bible. And the reason they're not taught much about the Bible is because they don't believe that large parts of the Bible belong to us today. So they don't talk about it. You won't go into your local Baptist church and have them talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they won't read from it, from the Scriptures. They won't talk about it. They don't ever read about it, talk about it. They don't get over there. They don't much ever talk about, they'll talk about Jesus' miracles, but they sort of shy away from the apostle stuff in there because that gets too close over, you know. So they shy away from things, and they don't talk about certain things of Scripture. Now, in Hebrews, the first chapter, it says this. I'm going to read the first two verses. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has anointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now, I'm not going to go on and read in that, but one of the things he said there, in the past he spoke by the prophets. Some people believe, well, see, in the past, we don't need prophets today. That was the past. But that's not true. Now, Jesus, understand, if you follow out the book of Proverbs and going down through it, you will see that, you know, that the prophet's ministry hadn't ended. We know this from the standpoint of the book of Acts, that the apostle Paul didn't start off as an apostle. He started off either as a teacher or a prophet. Because it says in the book of Acts there in Antioch where they were at, they had gotten together. It said there was teachers and prophets, and one of them was Paul. So Paul didn't start off as an apostle. He was either a teacher. He could have been. Probably was a teacher. And we're going to talk. I just want to share a little bit, about these things. Is looking at them, because the prophets' ministry and these ministries haven't ended. And I want to go over to the book of Ephesians because of what we say. Because we're going to look at this prophecy. Because really, prophecy is something looked down on today, really. The church doesn't hold it at the place that they should. It's one of the things the Lord spoke to me about. that the Lord has spoken and said many things, and they have been put out there for people to hear, and it's God speaking to His people. But but people talk about following the Word of God. And let me just say this. Kenneth E. Hagin stood in the office of apostle and prophet. He stood in both those ministries. He was apostle and a prophet. He was a sent one to, in fact, he was really the sent one to the world. God had sent him, and his message, God said that he was going to do was get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And how he's going to do that? It's because of the teaching of the Word. There's one thing in the areas, one of the major things that he began to teach is faith. Faith has really become a lost subject in the church. People talk about it, but never do it. It's all nothing but voice. It's nothing but talk. Faith is not talk. Faith is doing what we do the Word. We put it to practice. We say things, then we do what we say. We walk in it, live in it. But faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And it's just like God. I mean, you think about it. We take the Old Testament. Look at the Old Testament. The majority of the Old Testament was given either, like by prophets. We have the prophets specifically in the Old Testament. God spoke through men. And we write it down and we have it say it's wonderful. We enter the church age and people have lost the value of the ministry gifts and the voice of the ministry gift. Today, people will just want some nice speaker. They just want people come and just say something nice to them. But understand this, out of any gift that God puts in the earth, you get no more out of it than you draw out of it. If you don't walk in faith with gifts, they don't produce anything. It ain't the minister. It isn't how much the minister studies and knows God determines what's coming out. It's the audience determines what comes out. It's what the audience will receive and take. Look at Jesus, had wonderful things to say, went to his hometown, and they took him out and wanted to kill him, throw him over a cliff. Don't think. He said he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Don't you think because some guy's really anointed, then you're just going to have a real anointed service. It's what people will allow to happen. We're the key to the move of God, not God. We're the key to it. He's already decided, read the book, he wants to move. That's decided. We don't have to pray to ask God to move. He wants to. It's God, what do I need to do so you can move? What about me? What do I got to do so you can do what you want to do? And so one of the things we have here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we have here that's spoken about what gifts are that God gave. And the Lord wants to do this. One of the things I'm doing here is something that Kenneth Hagin taught me. And I learned sitting in school. Because what sometimes we go over and just talk about things, but it's good to lay a foundation of the Word before we look at the prophecy. Because we have to verify, is this worth looking at? What does God do today? So you'll go talk to people and they don't believe in the prophet's ministry today. They hear me talking about a prophecy. They don't care at all what's said. Because they don't believe it's the Bible. But I'm showing you it's the Bible. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and verse 11, speaking Jesus Christ, and He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Who gave them? Jesus. So this is not Old Testament. The Apostle Paul is saying Jesus Christ himself gifted in the church. Now some say we don't need the apostle and prophet today. Well, that's interesting because Jesus gave it to the church. So the church age must have ended. Must be gone. Because if the apostle and prophet are not needed today, then the church age is ended because of what he went on to say. What are they given for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, the church, so according to most Christians and most Christian ministers, the church is already perfected. So we don't need the apostle and prophet anymore because we've already been perfected. These gifts were given in the church to perfect the church. And the church will need perfecting until Jesus comes back, I'll guarantee you. I've lived long enough and seen what's going on. We haven't arrived. Why would Jesus take two of the gifts away and say, I'm going to leave you guys with three and perfect you, you know? But the first church needed all five. But we today, but see, one of the biggest things, especially here in America, our intellect has killed us spiritually. We reason everything out of what we need, how smart we are. Oh, we're just so bright. You know, because we can read. I'm going to tell you what, our nation is filled with ignoramuses that can read. My God. Reading don't make you smart. Godly reasoning will make you smart. Reading don't make you smart. We're full of ignorance. Hell's full of people that could read. Reading don't make you smart. God makes man smart. You can't get there without God. People are lost without God. We're lost without God. We need Him. These gifts were put in the church to bring the church to the fullness of Christ. But I know this. So if I want to develop and grow, I cannot develop and grow just a pastoral gift or just a, you know, out here just a teacher or something. We need those other gifts. We need to understand, especially dealing with the apostle and the apostle and the prophet gift. The apostle and prophet gift in the church will bring revelation that the other gifts do not necessarily bring. They don't bring it. They won't bring it. There's revelation. Those gifts specifically God reveals. If we look at the revelations, even from a scriptural standpoint of the church, the revelations that really concerning a scripture that we see, look at the apostle Paul. You know, he was an apostle and he also was a prophet. He stood in those two offices. But the apostle Paul, the revelation that came out of apostle Paul. If we would take the Bible and take the apostle Paul's writings out of the New Testament, you realize how much you would never know about Jesus Christ? You could sit and read John and about John and love and all that stuff all you want, but there's a lot of stuff. You'd be walking around loving and doing nothing. All of it together works. All the revelation works. But the apostle Paul, you would not know the revelation about the church and the taking away of the church if it wouldn't be for the apostle Paul. John didn't write about it. Peter didn't write about it. James didn't write about it. They talked about the end. They talked about things. But we are really the apostle Paul, the revelation that was given through that gift. They all had revelations on things. But this is what we need to understand. And in these last days, there's revelations come. There's things that God wants to bring out in the church. The prophets, we find, we need to know and understand that prophets' ministry still exists today. God speaks through men, just like He did years ago. God never, and you get it in your head, you know, people get this idea, well, God can just move and do. God uses people. If God can just do it without Ed, well, then it'll stay at home. What on earth am I doing here? Why am I doing all this studying and all this stuff trying to find out what God wants to say if He can do it without me? Well, then do it. But He never does and never has. That's the falseness of the church. God, you know, Bible says we're workers together with Him. People say, God don't need me. I'm sorry. That's the biggest lie the devil ever got a preacher to preach. Is getting people, complain about people not doing anything and say, then turn around and say, God don't need you. God needs you. God does not work. You know, what God put in Sherry's heart to do in the Dominican Republic, that ain't getting done unless she cooperates with God. God ain't going to show up down there. Jesus ain't going to come out of heaven and go down there and do that stuff. Jesus is going to stay there. And she's going to have to go down there and do it. It's just like there. God can give me a message, but He makes me preach it. He wakes me up in the morning. If He can do it Himself, well, then let me sleep. Quit bugging me. Go talk to somebody else. There's so much nonsense talk today. So much. I am so glad. To me, I'm excited that God wants to do something through me. And I'm not going to talk the nonsense. God can never fulfill His plan through me unless I cooperate. Never. And I'm going to tell you what, God don't have a voice in the earth unless men speak. He has no voice. It's men. And God speaks things and God says things because it's important because we need to know concerning time and where we're at. Now, there's different things that operate We have different giftings, and we have the giftings in the body of Christ where God has put gifts in the church. He has put, and he says he's put some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Understand it's some. Not everybody's going to stand in those offices. They're not going to. And we don't, look, I don't stand in the offices I stand in because I'm brilliant, because God just said that he's smart enough to do it. I know full well that's not it. God chooses, and he's never talked to me why, he chose anybody. And I just know that I'd waste my time talking to him about it, trying to get an answer. The Bible says God chooses whom he chooses. I don't know why, but he chooses people. But I know this, and I've watched. God's really not interested much in your talent. He's interested in anointing you and his talent being manifested through you. I'm tired of hearing preachers go use your talent for Jesus. Dear God, please don't. That's what religion starts. That's religion. That's what religion. Go use your talent for Jesus. No, let God use you outside of your talent. God will anoint you to be able to do outside of what man can do. That's why the church has very miracles and stuff in America, because we've been trained in talent so much, we don't need God anymore. We can do all kinds of things. There was a minister from China, a Christian minister from China, a guy, I have his book, all kind of here in the United States. I mean, this guy went through all kind of torture and stuff because of being a Christian. He had prison, and I mean, this guy's had a terrible time. So he came to, they finally, you know, things got a little bit easier on him there in China. So he got to visit America, and he came to America, and they took him around to different places and churches in America, and these groups took him places and did all this stuff. And he was went to Los Angeles to leave the airport, and I read this thing from him. And they took him to Los Angeles, the airport, to leave. And the group, there's a group of people took him to the airport, and these ministers, and they said to him, well, what do you think of American church? What do you think of it? And he said, it is amazing what they are able to do without God. He's exactly right. I have sat under ministers that had no anointing whatsoever to do anything. But they were trained well in certain things, and they went along, and everybody thought. Because most people don't know the difference between anointing and talent. They have no clue. Have no clue. See, we need anointed people. Folks, we're in dire need in America of anointed people. And I'll tell you, God don't choose, the Bible says this, he don't choose many wise. He didn't choose many wise. So you know what? It's not about, you got to learn. It doesn't mean if you have an education that God can't use you. It's you can't keep throwing your education, physical education, the things you're putting them out there, is that's what you're going to walk in. God wants to take you to something better. You know, Mike's a well-educated guy and has had education on him, but how many times he gets up and tells us the testimonies of what God does to give him wisdom? He said, all this education, and the guy still needs God. He still needs God to do it, and it changes not. It never changes. I saw what happened in the 90s. In the 90s, the church got seminared to death, and they got puffed up in knowledge. And it led to the destruction of the church. The church became more and more powerless because all they were doing is seminar, but their seminars weren't leading people to expand their faith and walk greater toward God. Just gaining knowledge and more knowledge and more knowledge. It's not just gaining more knowledge. I found out this with God. There's a lot of knowledge he never gives me till I get in the situation to need it. Now I need to listen to him what to do. Everybody wants, educated people want everything up front. That is not God. He will not work like that. You'll get frustrated with him. You won't like it because it doesn't require faith to get everything up front and go do it. It requires faith to go do when you only have a part of it. And you got to go and get the answer as you go along. You get the answers as you go along. You step into what you got and then you say, God, I don't know what to do about this. What do you know on this subject? What are you going to do? And that's when revelation comes. God starts to reveal to you. God will put you into things. I remember, you know, let's just say with Mike, when Mike was going, you know, to this list, you know, this rating thing that you got and that stuff to be able to, you know, it was a lot of work to get into it. It's a lot of work, but you know, Mike was stepping into places to him that was a lot of, really in a sense, to the unknown. He's going to have to help to get there. And you go, it was a walk of faith, wasn't it, Mike? You pushed out into it and say, you know, do I really want to complete this thing? Would I really want to go out there to this? Do I really want to go that far? Inside, there's a drawing, but outwardly, it's like, man, do I want to go? You need the help of God. See, the trouble with education today is just from this standpoint. People have been educated without God. So they do everything themselves. All they're learning is what they come up with in their mind. God will take you to places and show you things that you never thought were even possible or even know. But you can't get it on your own thoughts. When your own thoughts, you know, it's one of the things of scriptures, you know, in there that I have in the bulletin there from Isaiah. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Well, he goes on to talk about my thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. He was talking to Israel. Israel got away from God. God, it wasn't that God didn't want Israel to know and have his thoughts. They weren't walking with God, and now they're left with their own intelligence and they're going under. And he says, look, my thoughts are higher. He said, my words, just like the rain that comes out of heaven, comes down the earth. He says, it doesn't return void without accomplishing what it was due. He says, his word doesn't return void. You got to give it back to him. You got to return it to him to get it to work. Without recognition of God's ability, you're going nowhere. You're going to always do what you do through your intelligence. You take the word of God and you give it back to him. I've learned years ago. God, how many times? I'll tell you. I've told you before. I pray. I'll go to the Bible and I say, Lord, your word says such and such. You had it written there. And the Bible says you can't lie. So you wrote it down, had it put here for me. And Lord, you said you'd do such and such. See, I'm returning it to him. You know what? It's not going to return to him void without producing what it was sent to do. Most people pray their feelings and everything else to God and all their problems and everything to God. I'm going to tell you, talk about what he said about your problem. Like Mike 30, cast your care on him, glory to God. Say, God, you know, I got this trouble and I'm tired of it. I'm going to give it to you. No, we'll sit there and pray for 15 weeks about that problem all the time and every day telling him about it. And you know what? It don't return to you void, does it? Without accomplishing sorrow in your heart and making you miserable. Woo! Good preaching. I'll stop there on that. Okay, we'll get it. But hallelujah. But God put gifts in the church and manifestations of the Spirit in the church. It, over in 1 Corinthians 12th chapter tells about gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, because we have gifts that Jesus are in the church and we have gifts of the Spirit. These are gifts that are operated by the Holy Spirit, not by Jesus Christ. The anointing, the gifts that are in the church that were given, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor and teacher, were specifically given by Jesus. These gifts operate and manifest through the Holy Spirit, and it operates as the Spirit wills. So, and if you go through there and read them, you'll find that there's 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation. And you will find in those, one of those gifts of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in the 10th verse, one of those gifts is prophecy. So prophecy is a gift. Now, the prophet will operate in that, with that gift. Nobody stands in the office of prophet without having the gift of prophecy. He will operate in that. Now, he won't just operate in prophecy. And let me just say this. There's very few ministers that are anointed by God. There's all kinds of ministers out here. But ones that are anointed by God, they'll always have, from the standpoint of the ministry gift from God, they'll all have more than one gift. Now, a minister could be, like, say, a pastor. Well, a pastor, it will either have a teaching or a preaching gift. He may have both. Some have teaching and preaching gifts. They do that. Some are more teachers or, you know, however they work. Me, I operate in a teaching gift. I have the teaching gift, but I teach more from the prophetic side. I teach by inspiration. There's teaching. So within even gifts, there are different different measures of how gifts work. You will find even in a prophet's ministry, some prophets, like Kenneth E. Hagin, he stood in the highest office of prophet when he was alive in America, in alive in this earth. Really, of anybody standing in the earth, he was standing in the highest spot. God had a plan for that man to do something, and he stood. The things that this man said and did is God talking to people to try to get people on, especially to the church. It's to bring the church into line. It was to bring the church into line to fulfill the will of God. Jesus wants the church ready. Christians have this crazy idea that just because I'm a Christian, I'm ready. That's not true. Ready for what? They think, well, yeah, I'm going to go. Are you really ready to meet Jesus? Loads of people think they're ready to meet Jesus, and when they meet Jesus, they're going to really be surprised because we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there's people who ain't going to get any reward. They ain't getting nothing. He's going to look at them and say, you made it. That's it. Bible says so. That's New Testament. There's one thing that Paul wrote, that guy, he should have never told us that, I'll tell you what. But you know, the church ignores these things. Yet on the other side, so, but there's reward for us to have, and we want to have reward. What God is doing, God put a man in the earth to get the church ready because he wants the church ready. He wants to give reward. That, God is interested not in the only in prosperity in this life. He wants you to have it in the life to come. Understand, there's people going to be rewarded in heaven that are going to stand higher than other people. Heaven is not a socialistic system and everybody has the same. God's kingdom is not like that. We have the teaching of the Bible. There's no such thing as everybody gets the same. That's socialism taught by the devil through the church. There's not socialism. So what God wants us ready to meet Jesus Christ, what's the purpose for? Because he wants to reward us. He wants us to be ready so when we stand in his faith, he said, hear the words, it's like, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. And said he shows up and Jesus goes, man, I'm glad you got in. Hallelujah. Hey, heaven's going to be good for everybody, but it's going to be much better for, I'll tell you what, if I see Jesus, I want you to be happy to have me there. Don't you? He'll be happy to have everybody there. But I'll tell you, you need to understand this about God. I learned this years ago. The thing that God loves to do is to reward people. God is always trying to find ways that he can bless people. That's what he wants to do. And when God can't bless people, it bugs him. The fact that he put a man in the earth to get the church ready so he could bless people when they get to heaven, and the church ignores the man. They ignored him. The church generally ignored the man. They didn't know who he was. Why? Because they're all so smart and educated. They all know so much. They didn't notice what God was doing and working in that man. It wasn't this man wasn't God, but he was used by God. Whether we like it or not. He was used by God, and we have to recognize. We have to recognize who God's using and what God is doing. We need to recognize that. The Bible tells us there's many voices out here, all of them without, doesn't all of them have significance, what they're saying. But which one's the right one? Your education ain't going to tell you that one. It's not going to give it to you. God's put these gifts, and these gifts are important. You know, in Chronicles, and I just want to share because I want to go over that prophecy. But in Chronicles, in the 20th chapter, there's a story there. And really, from the standpoint of the prophet. Because if we look under the law, and Israel had the word, and Israel had numbers of prophets and things that had spoken, and they had the word. But we find here, especially the ministry of the prophet, is wonderful because many times God will speak, and you need to understand this, in areas of specifics in time. Like, we could sit down and look at scriptures. Like, let's take the book of Revelation. We need to know where in time that fits. Much of the church world. I mean, the church world, if we go back in, the church world, because of not knowing God and throwing out the prophets' ministry and all that stuff, back in the dark ages, they thought that was the tribulation. All through church histories had that. When people can't read the time that they're in. Jesus said in his time when he was in Jerusalem, we talked about it here the other week. Jesus said, if you'd only known the time of your visitation. He said, God, you don't. Then he went on to tell them the judgment that was going to fall and what was going to happen. Why? Because they didn't know the time of the visitation. It isn't enough to know that Jesus, the Messiah, came. They needed to know when he was there. I don't matter what the Bible says is going to happen. When's it going to happen? This is where prophecy and things come in, where gifts operate within the church to bring into line when things are. When does this fit? We can't judge by what we see going on that these things that are this is exactly, this is the one. We have to know by the Spirit of God where we fit in this thing. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me years ago when I was first born again and told me that I was called specifically for this day and hour and into this generation. He said that this was my place and my time because it was the end time and I was called for the end time. He said, this is what you're called for. This is your place. In other words, my calling is for the day and time that I'm living in right now, that God put me in, that I'm here, and I'm here for this time. You know, most ministers don't know what time they're in. They just teach the Bible just like all time just runs on and don't matter. Folks, specifics of the time are needed to know. You need to know the specific. You know, if Jesus isn't coming back, like I hear ministers say, well, we don't know really when he's going to come back. Well, then you really ain't going to ever get no revelation about it, of when he is or not. And nobody, you can't ready anybody when you don't even know if he's supposed to be coming back yet or not. This nonsense of people walking around and saying, well, he could come back in 100 years from now. Well, if he could, well, then we can throw out a lot of other preaching and things that people are doing. Who needs it? He ain't going to be here. Getting people ready that don't need to be ready. See, we need to understand how important it is. So God takes the scriptures, but he takes the scriptures and he brings them to the time and the need of people during things. And this is why having the Holy Spirit is in you is so important. We need to know what's going on and when things are happening and what's going on. Where does prophecy fit? Where does it fit? Where is it at? You know, learning to judge those prophecies. We have in Chronicles there Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, he was king over Judah. And Jehoshaphat had a problem. I'm not going to go down and read the whole thing through. But Jehoshaphat had three armies come up against him. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Mount Seir came up against them with a whole horde of people. It was a huge army coming up to Judah. And was much more than they could handle. It was much more than they could handle. I want you to understand this. I believe, without a question of a doubt in my mind, that God set this thing up. I believe God wanted to judge Ammon, he wanted to judge Moab, and he wanted to judge Mount Seir, and he brought them up. If Israel didn't know and pay attention to what's going on, God's perfect will. Many times God's perfect will. I've watched Christians end up in defeat when they were supposed to end up in a victory because they didn't know their time. They didn't know. They thought, well, you know, they didn't realize God was setting them up and wanted to set them up for a victory, but they chose the loss. They chose not to know the time that they were in. They didn't choose to know God's deliverance. The Bible says God's not going to allow any kind of temptation to come up on you which you can't, you know, get out of. He's not going to allow it. New Testament says that. Lots of people fail, and they fail because they fail the test to walk in the light of what they know. The problem comes, they use all their intellect to try to solve it. Instead of listening to God. Well, we find out there's a great problem here. And what Jehoshaphat did, Jehoshaphat, now I want you to understand this. Jehoshaphat is in the heir and lineage of, and became king because his daddy and him were king, and he got to be king. Educated man. Smart man. He's educated. If we'd taken Israel, probably been one of the top educated guys in Israel. You know, they're going to teach those people. You know, they're going to be smart. And what does he do when all this happens? He calls everybody together and says, man, we can't win this one. If God don't help us, we can't win this one. This one's out. In other words, all my smarts ain't going to help none of this. If God doesn't intervene, we're done. So He turns around and he doesn't call in all the council of all the bright guys in the military and everything else, call in what we ought to do. I'm sure there's certain things that they automatically did because, you know, just from a protection standpoint. But he called the nation to prayer and to seek God. We need help from heaven. We need help for heaven. I often thought, boy, if America would only do that sometime. If the church would only do it sometime. I mean, I heard some major ministers years ago. I first got to be a Christian, young Christian. And we had had drought. It didn't rain much of the summer. A little bit of spring rain, but the summer, it rained, didn't come. And we had really drought, a lot of drought. And I'll never forget this. They had on the radio, and I had a radio on, and they were doing like a news thing, and then they were talking with these ministers. And I'll never forget what the one minister said. Well, we just decided nothing else was working. Now, I thought this was really interesting because, I mean, we had drought all this time, and he said, we just need to pray. And I thought, you just figured that out? I want you to understand, folks, that's why we had the drought, because the Christians and the ministers were never talking to God. They're just going on just like everybody else, using their wisdom, their thinking. And the whole time, they never stopped and said, you know, this is out of our hands. We can't make it. Let's get God in here. Lots of times, folks, that's why disasters get as bad as they do. Because people just keep handling them and taking this as much as they can do till it gets out of control. Then they call prayer. And usually stuff don't get fixed very quick when you do that. Because things, you have already let the devil get the upper hand on stuff. And he gets to rule a whole bunch. They wait till things get, you know, we wouldn't think God would be interested in healing my headache. It's not important. But when I get cancer, then I want to get a healing. Man, I'm going to tell you, believe God on the headache. When the cancer comes, when you know you get a hold of the headache, you have a chance on the cancer. You can't get the headache, you're going to have trouble with the cancer. Get on things that God is interested in all the areas of our lives and the little things. Well, Jehoshaphat called on them, called on God, and God responded through a prophet. He responded through a prophet, and the prophet told them this. He said, look, you guys, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, guys. This battle's not you. You're not going to have to fight it. He said, the battle's the Lord's. And we're going to, one thing I want you to understand about this, they went out against these, and well, first of all, the people believed what the prophet said. The prophet spoke, and Jehoshaphat believed it. So the next day, they went out to go watch what God was going to do. You need to understand. They took their army out, but they didn't plan on using their army. Because when they took their army out, they put their singers and their praisers and the priests out front. They were going down to watch. God said, you're not going to fight this fight. They believed that. The Lord spoke to me already. I've said to people already, you know, God's going to take care of this. You sit down. And you know what? They won't. They keep trying to take care of it. And they never get what God wants to do. Mike this morning, cast your care on him for he cares for you. People hang on to their care and they just keep asking God to help. And he wants your care, and if you don't give it to him, he'll let you carry it forever if you want to. He ain't going to take it. He's going to force your cares out of your hand. He won't do that. He's not going to force your cares. You get to live with them. If you want them, they're yours. So what do? You cast them over. What they did is Jehoshaphat. Oh my God. See, we need leaders like this. We need leaders in the church world who can believe God. Say, God's going to do this thing. Let's sit back and watch. Let's get a good seat in the house so we can see it happen. Hallelujah. I want to watch it. So the enemies, they went out to watch, and they went to a place where they could see the valley. They didn't go there to fight. They went out there to go see. And it was the most amazing thing when they got there to see. Actually, all they found was bodies. It was already done when they got there. But God did it. But I want you to see what Jehoshaphat, wonderful words that Jehoshaphat said in the 20th verse of the 20th chapter, this is in the morning. It said, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. In other words, they were going to prosper. Hey, this win of this battle, it wasn't a matter of just not being overrun and killed. I mean, that would have been enough. You find out then later on, they spent 3 days carrying away all the wealth that these people came with. The Bible, it tells, he said they had jewels and all kinds. 3 days carrying all the stuff away back to Jerusalem. 3 days! God did not just take them. God let them turn around just like when the children of Israel left Egypt and got all the stuff before they left. He's doing it again. God wants to bring things into our hands, folks. He hasn't been able to bring it in our hands because of our intellects. We just keep to believe the prophets and you'll prosper. Is one of the things. You know, I've listened to prophecies. I've listened to ministers who have had things that God has brought through prophecies through an individual that proved that, you know, that Donald Trump was going to be the president years before Donald Trump even ran for president. And God, those prophecies told how he was going to prosper America again and how he's going to turn things around in America. He spoke those things. And you know what? That same minister said he believes that prophecy. And then he's turning around and selling food to go hide. He's out there selling the dried food. Now they say, I want you to understand, he's operating against the prophecy. I'm going to tell you what, God ain't coming back for a hidden church. And these people doing this stuff are operating against words of God that have been put in the earth of God's plan. God's coming back. Jesus is returning for a glorious church, not a hidden church. He's not calling back people in caves hiding out somewhere. Now, if you're going to stay here, it might be a good idea in the tribulation. You better get yourself a cave. Get some. Buy the dried food. You'll need it if you're going to stay. But the church is gone. It ain't going to be here. God told me I wasn't going to. He said, when he comes, I'm going. I ain't going to be in a tribulation. If you want to tribulate, go ahead. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, I don't know. But anyhow, but we want to look over at this prophecy because we need to believe the words of God. Why? We will prosper. God puts these words in the earth so you and I prosper. So we do well while we're here. It's for you and I to do well. In other words, believing like they're true. Believing like it's true. Right now in America, there's a lot of Americans, Christians, operating against the will of God. Loads of them are operating against the will of God because they're doom and gloom disaster people. Operating against, so they won't believe in God turning things around. So God, you can't turn things around with them. He can't use them. The majority of the church stops God from doing what he wants to do. God wants to bless. He wants to do good to people. And the church can hold it back by not understanding. Now, this is the prophecy, October 1st, 1974. This prophecy spoke to the people then, but this prophecy is really for us today. You have to understand things in their time. And God does that all the time. I used to get frustrated when I was a young Christian. I had a number of times. I had a number of visions and different things that I had about things. And I would always think, that's going to happen tomorrow. And, you know, it'd go year after year, and it never happened, till I started to realize, as I gained more knowledge in that stuff, the Word of God, how God operates, I realized God showed me many things were down the road of things that were going to happen, things that were going to take place down the road. And so you could see those. There's one thing as it is. I've seen things over on the side of the tribulation. I want to tell you what. The church ain't going to be in tribulation because when Jesus comes for the church age ends. There will be no church over in the tribulation period. There'll be people who will believe on Jesus, but they will not be the church. The church age ends when Jesus Christ returns. And we have in verification of this prophecy. Now, I've never seen this whole prophecy. Kenneth Hagin said this. I have numbers of his prophecies that I've read over the years, and I've heard him speak personally on different things. But this one here, he really verifies things. Now, he said, he starts off the prophecy. He says, no, the time of the end is not yet. Now, remember, this is 1974. No, America is not doomed. Oh, man, we've had doomed preachers. America's done. Look, I've seen the doomed preachers. Back when the first Bush presidency, right before he was elected as president, before he was elected. In fact, that year in July, this same prophet prophesied that year, and everything he said came true. He prophesied that year. That year, we had a number of ministers publish books because they said the American finance, our financial structure couldn't stand. We were so bad off, we were going under. That there's no way. Pat Robertson wrote a book, sold, oh, I don't know how many millions and millions of copies of it, about how America's financial collapse was going to take place. There was no way that our could make it. July of that election year, Kenneth Hagin was preaching up in front. We were at a camp meeting out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Brother Hagin's up there ministering the word, and all of a sudden he stops and just stands there. And so he stops, and everything gets silent, man. He's just standing there and standing there. And he's not moving, just standing. And then he stops and he goes, an angel of the Lord just appeared to me and told me, don't worry about the presidential election. The person I want is going to enter into office. And then he said, and don't worry about the American economy. He said, it's not going to fail. He said, I'm going to uphold it and everything's going to be all right. Don't worry. And it happened exactly. All those ministers became doom and gloom sayers were all wrong. Every one of them was wrong. Millions of books, millions of Christians worried about this, read the books and worried, trying to get everything together so when it all goes under, they'll have their money and they'll have their food and they'll have their stuff because, oh, it's all, here comes the big collapse. Understand this, you go hide out, where are you going to hide, folks? Let me tell you, where are you going to hide? The sinners will find you and kill you to get your food and money. Haven't you seen how they act? You need God more than you need the food and the money. You need God for protection. See, we sing about this stuff like, oh, he's my strong tower, he's all this stuff. Yeah. Well, how are you going to act? What I want to know is what you're doing now, and your actions are going to prove whether you believe that when you sang it. Your actions when you walk away. If we believe it, I'm going to tell you, he's my strong tower. I don't know how to take care of me. I ain't got enough sense. Because I'm not smart enough. I don't know everything. God does. Glory to God. America's not doomed. He said, I heard him say, he's talking about God, no judgment will fall as yet. Some have seen some things in the spirit and don't know how to interpret it. They interpret it as happening now. I didn't say it was going to happen now. In the spirit, you see things in the distance. And even in another age, when the church age is over, judgment will fall. But judgment will not fall upon the church, for the only judgment that the church will face is the judgment seat of Christ. They'll not face the judgment of tribulation. They'll not face the judgment of the enemy or the judgment of God, for they're protected by God. Now, I just want to say to you as clarification, because you got to put this into context. He's talking, when he's talking about the judgment that they're talking about that time, there have been books brought out at that time. Some people saw over later on, there was a book brought out by David Wilkerson, the America's Last Call. And America's Last Call, I sat down and read the book, and I sat down and read his book, and when I was done with it, I said, well, my words, why even be? Bother being a Christian, get saved, kill yourself today, and go home and be a Jesus. Who wants to live? But I knew it was wrong. It wasn't from a scriptural action. What he was seeing is over into the, he saw into the time period of the tribulation, and he saw believers over in that time, and he said it was the church, and it wasn't the church. It wasn't the church. Because he said, oh, God's going to get glory by all the Christians dying. Well, this I know from a standpoint, just on this thing, one thing. We have been given authority over Satan in the name of Jesus, haven't we? But the Bible says we can cast devils out. Well, I know this for a fact. During the tribulation, the believers are not going to have authority over Satan. Satan's going to dominate and rule them. The Bible says so. It can't be the church. Or Jesus is going to have to lie and take his name. And if he lies, then he's the devil. Jesus ain't the devil. See, the church age ain't in the tribulation. Never has been. Never will be. Now, let me say this. It doesn't mean that there's no judgment at all. We need to differentiate in the judgment when God's talking judgment. There's different kinds of judgment. This judgment, tribulation, is about the punishment of evil. It's about the destruction of evil people. It's about, and when he says there's no judgment, we need to understand, because Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and told them because they wouldn't judge themselves, they would be judged. So they're not condemned with the world. In other words, judgment dealing with the areas of correction, he said there's many that are weak, they're sick, some and died prematurely because they didn't judge themselves. What they did is they opened up the door to the enemy to do things to them. They did that. That wasn't God working to do that. They did that. But God said it so they're not condemned with the world. The whole thing it is, God don't want the church condemned with the world. I don't want to go into the judgment the world's got to be under. Dear God, I don't want to go there. But see, people misinterpret things, and so they say, see, no judgment, well, God won't judge anything. Then they start preaching a false grace. Things get judged. God has set a sin. The Bible says the New Testament, go and reap what you sow. There's things that are judged. You end up with, you do the wrong thing, you end up with something that's wrong. But, and don't, it's the thing of it is, but the whole thing of it is, so much of the church world, they don't know whose side God's on. They don't know if he wants to get them or just get the sinner. They don't know. It's one thing is the judgment of God, the wrath of God, we have been delivered from it through accepting Jesus Christ. The world needs to know this. Even though God loves them, if they don't accept Jesus, God's going to pour his wrath out on them. Love does not mean God's not going to pour out his wrath. God pours out his wrath if people don't receive Christ. They are going to stand under. We've been saved, it says, what? From the wrath of God, it says in the New Testament. In other words, you and I are never going to face the wrath of God. Glory, hallelujah. You know, devil may have done things to me, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't want God's wrath. God is the big boy. I read the book of Revelation. Ain't a nice place to be around that stuff going on. Don't want to be there. Don't want to be there. Glory to God. And we ain't going to be there. Hallelujah. Praise God. So get a smile on your face. You're happy. You're happy because, hallelujah, heaven's your home. If anybody's going to tell you off, it'll be Jesus. Well, and that's a whole lot better. He can correct us and go, all right, let's do that. Hallelujah. Well, unless he goes on to say, and there is more to happen yet. There's missionary work to be done, and even the renewal that you call the charismatic renewal, which was going on back in that time, was really kicked in. It said, in the move of the Spirit in these last days, you have only seen a little. So in other words, the charismatic renewal, I'm going to say a lot of wonderful things went on during that time period. But he said, this thing is going, you've only seen a little. He said, and there shall be those that stand before the leaders. Now, we haven't had this part take place. We haven't seen this thing. So this is to come. This is stuff that's coming. He said, there shall be those that stand before the leaders of this nation and work miracles, and it shall be seen, it shall be even so as it was with Philip. After that, he had baptized the eunuch that he was caught away and found in another city. And so one shall be in the city, and television cameras, it said, television cameras shall be trained upon him. The reporter will say, he's here in Dallas, Texas. And as fast as you can snap your finger, a television camera in Los Angeles will say, and he is here. Now listen, now we haven't seen. See, we haven't seen a lot of things concerning the move of spirit. You know, these things have happened in the earth since it. People have had it happen. I've heard testimonies, but it's never been to this thing. I don't know that anybody has ever been caught on television doing that. God, we need to understand, before Jesus is going to come, Jesus is going to ring a loud dinner bell, a call to people to come. He's going to do things. Why? Because the church age ends, judgment's going to start. It's a lot easier on this church age side to come in. Because I tell you what, I can't imagine a lot of people will stand on the other side. Because if you can't stand on this side, this is the side where the grace of God's on you, and this is you could have the grace of God. That side is going to be a different story. It's going to be a different story. It says, some will say, how did he do that? It shall be the Spirit of God that shall catch him away. And these signs and wonders shall become more prevalent. Signs and wonders have come here and come there, but they shall become more prevalent and more prevalent in those last days. Now you notice he said more prevalent and more prevalent. In other words, just not prevalent. Things are going to go to an extreme. Just as you see the world going to extremes, you always have it in both sides. God will go to more extremes. Where sin abounds, what does it say? Grace does much more abound. The church believes the exact opposite. They believe where sin abounds. Much more. So where sin abounds, grace does much more. The devil is doing his thing, pushing things in a direction. God is about to break forth and push into a direction that's going to do a whole lot against what the enemy's doing. Praise God. God's talked to me about these things the other morning. He talked to me about God has plans. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, listen what it says here. Mike's scriptures this morning were good. And let not your heart be fearful, nor let it be afraid. For there shall, and on the scene, he has already arisen. One who shall respond unto the things of God, whose heart will be open toward God. And your nation that seems to be cut down to the roots. Now at the time this here was going on, our nation didn't seem to be cut down the roots. So we know that when this was spoken, it wasn't dealing with that time. That hadn't happened. He said, and the wild birds of the air and the fowls of the air came and roosted in her branches and did much disrepute unto the nation. Yet that shall all be repaired, because this man shall say, I will walk in the way of God. I will trust also in him. And he shall be at the head, and many shall follow. And the work of God shall be consummated that must be consummated in other nations before I come. Donald Trump is going to influence the move of God in other nations. I listened to Donald Trump talking about the president of China. He talks like this guy's his friend. He said, we sit down and we talk. We need to get things done. We know we got problems. But he said, I like this man. Donald Trump is better than most Christian preachers. See, people look like he seems like a rough guy. He's something else. You don't get in and leaders of nations like you because you don't know. You're an idiot. No, if you're a politician, you're an idiot. But he's not a politician. And so the politicians don't know what to do about him. He is not following their plans and purposes, and they can't figure this out because they keep saying it won't work. I want you to do something. I want you to get a hold of this because the Lord spoke to me about this. He told me to read these things to you people specifically and talk to you about it. We need to return his word to him. Quit praying and crying about the problems in our nation. Go to God. God, this was you said. Our president is going to walk with you. Our president's going to follow your way. You said so. You spoke through the prophet and the prophet. And God, I believe it. See, we can't say, sit around and say, oh, I believe God wants to do this, then go pray like he's not going to do it. See, people's actions destroy what God wants to do because they keep looking at the problem. They look at the news media to find out what's going on in America. Dear God, you ain't going to know nothing listening to the news media. I'm going to tell you, look to God. God, now look, this was set in motion that we were going to have a leader of our nation when it looks like our nation's cut down to the root. And God has a leader. Donald Trump has been prophesied by others that he's this leader. And I know they didn't know this prophecy. God's going to use a man. See, he don't fit our thing. You know, he's not this nice little religious thing that we like to have. This little tiptoe through the tulips playing ukulele, carrying a little lamb under one arm. That ain't the leader America needs. So the Lord told me. The Lord said this. He said, I'm going to put a bull in the china closet. He said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm putting a bull in the china closet. He said, I'm going to tear up some stuff. That's what the fight is in Washington. The Democrats and the Republicans down there, they don't want none of their stuff busted up. But God wants to bust it up. Hallelujah. Say, God, turn the bull loose. Tear it up. Hallelujah. Tear it up. Now, hallelujah. Now listen to this. Now this is speaking of the end. Now see the preparation the preparation of the church. Now listen, he said, I heard him say, because you see, the enemy shall not gainsay the work of the Lord. And like a trumpet sounding across the valley, I hear the voice so strong and clear. And he said, I am not coming for a church, the body of Christ, that's weak, emaciated, sickly, and underground. I'm coming for the spiritual giant that's alive and living and working the works of God. That's who Jesus is coming for. Do you know right now that's not most of the church? They don't even want to be in this camp. I tell you, but I want you to understand this. Don't get worried. Follow God. There's many of them going to come in when they see what's going on. I remember back during the charismatic renewal, people standing on, these ministers standing on the outside. All that stuff, that's not God, that's the devil. Next thing you know, they were in with the devil. They were jumped into it and found out, hey, that move of God was God. You know, they got over there, got healed, got delivered, and they said, oh my God, this is God. Hallelujah. God's working over there. They got, and they will in this time too. They'll come over. Look, there's a lot of people out there, they aren't ignorant because they want to be. They've been taught ignorance since they was young. And they've been put in the ignorant category. You know, there's some that, you know, let the word says they're ignorant, let them be ignorant still. There's some of them you are not going to reach, you're not going to do, but there's one's going to come in. They're going to see the move of God and they're going to say, you know what, I'm getting in that thing. Man can't do that. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get in it. Hallelujah. Because the church of Jesus Christ is going to be a glorious church and there's not going to be 10 people leaving. You know, when I was a Christian, Jesus was coming, the church that I was a part of, they were the only ones going and everybody else was staying. And then the other groups, they thought they were going and everybody else was staying. And that's all they had. And when I look at them today, I think, my God, I wonder if any of them would have went the way they were. Hallelujah. Well, God's merciful. He's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. So it goes on to here say, he says, what? You don't be, here he goes again. So be not fearful, nor cast thy glance around about and become. Now he used this word, asking. It's not familiar with us. I put this in here, the definition of it, because the definition wasn't in. But it merely means to be with disapproval or distrust. Oh my words, loads of Christians need to hear this. These never Trumper people, even a lot of them are Christians. They're standing on the outside and they're disapproval in their things. They're measuring Donald Trump against them. And God measures Donald Trump against him. They think they're God. They think they're the ones you measure against. It says, but what? So in other words, we're not supposed to be afraid and worry about this thing. Why? Well, there must be something about this man that was going to come that wasn't going to seem just like this was the best thing to do. Why? Well, if he was just going to be this great guy following God, he'd be saying, well, you guys are going to fear nothing. You ain't going to be upset about anything. Hallelujah. It says, so be not fearful, nor cast a glance, he said, round about become asking. He said, but look ye unto him, for he is the head of the church. This is Christ. Look to him. And through the church, the head will manifest himself. And men are the hands of the Lord. And the hands, in the hands are in the body. And he shall stretch forth his hands to heal the sick. These that signs and wonders shall be brought in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. He's going to work through the church. You need to understand this. If the church gets fearful, the hand ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. See, now's the time that the church needs to be. Glory to God. We're in the days of the power of God. We're in the days of the move of God. Glory to God. God's going to move. See, everybody has this crazy idea in the church, and I've watched it over the years, and it's been wrong. All this stuff got to get all straightened out so God can move. No. God moves because men act in faith. There has never been a major revival has come to an area when everybody is so wonderfully sweet, godly. It always come, revivals come because everything ain't sweet, everything ain't godly. That's why you need a revival. Revival always starts in the church. It never starts in the world. Always starts in the church. God is trying to get a revival started in the church. He's working at it. He's trying to get one going in the church. And I'll tell you what, he will. There's people, you folks yield to, you want God, don't you? Hallelujah. He goes on and says, there's two things shall shortly be made manifest unto the real people of God. Isn't this interesting, the real people? I want you to understand this. There's a lot of fake Christianity out here. Lots of fake called Christianity is not fake. It's not real. It's fake. One, he said, is further light in teaching and revelation in the area, the realm of healing, physical healing, divine healing, that will be the key that will unlock the chain that has bound so many, and they'll never more be the same. This is one thing to see again. This prophecy about the end times. First, we see the emphasis of healing. Haven't I been telling you guys this? These people over here pushing money first, they're all wrong. Every bit of it's wrong. Now, right now, the church ought to be emphasizing healing and promoting healing. And this is the time that we're in. This is what healing is. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's easy to get the rest. If you get this right, let's promote healing. The healing revival stopped in the 1950s because the ministers got all focused on the money. Brother Hagin said, he warned them, he warned the ministers today. He said, you guys are getting over on the money thing. And he said, I'm watching the healing ministry stop. He said, you get over there, you get away. Get over on the healing thing. The rest of it will work. Money comes. It'll come to you. But get over. If money becomes the focus, it won't work. Money can't become the focus. God wants it. We already know God wants to give us money. We know that fact. But the thing of it is, it don't seem right that money would come if we focused on something else, does it? See, men in their little minds thinking out how it's going to work. No, it's not. God is emphasizing healing. Healing to the forefront. The deliverance of people. I'm going to tell you what. You get a person dying of cancer and giving $1 million, ain't going to change their heart a little bit. You get them healed. Glory to God. Get them healed, they'll go for Jesus, and then give them $1 million, they'll do something for Jesus, dear Lord. But if you hand them the money, what good does it do? We're going to die, we ain't going to be able to use it anyhow. Glory to God. Healing the forefront. So there's a revelation, there's light teaching. He said, and then there shall come revelation, further light according to the word, according to concerning the miraculous, and the part that faith doth play. For faith is like the fuse that ignites the dynamite. And when the explosion goes off, all can hear and see. But there was a fuse that had to be lit. And faith is that fuse. If the church understood faith, we would have more miracles. We know the church generally as a whole don't understand faith. They don't understand. He said, listen what he said, and thou shalt be able to stand and to take a blackboard. Like he says, like a teacher teaching mathematics, and write out the equation and come up with the right answer. And it says, and any man or woman, boy or girl, standing or seating in that congregation will be able to take that equation, translate it into the spiritual realm, and their faith will ignite the power of God. And they'll have an explosion in their home and in their community and in their church, and it will be popping here and popping there, and it will be popping here and popping there, and it will be popping here and it'll be popping there. So get ready for it. So what do we get? Get ready for the revelation. Get yourself over to receive revelation. Quit waiting for somebody else to go get the revelation all the time. Get ready to get revelation. Notice he said even the kids are going to understand this stuff. I saw that with our own kids. Our own kids growing up knew more about faith than 90% of Christians today know about faith. They could operate in it better, knew how to believe God to get things as little kids, than adult Christians and ministers today that have been ministers for years and don't understand how to do it. But what's God trying to do? Throw everybody out? No. He's saying, look, this is at the end. I want to bring the revelation. Why? Because God wants these miracles taking place. He's not trying to hold them back. He's been wanting to do it. He's the guy that wants to get it on the road. He's telling us. Hallelujah. Look, and it says, listen to this. And the curtain, he said, was closed. And in the realm of eternity, I could no longer see. And he said, and in the realm of eternity, I could no longer hear. But I looked again into the realm of time where you sit and live and say with words from heaven above, these things shall surely be and shall shortly come. I want you to understand that he said these things will be. Now, in other words, for God to say something shortly concerning time, in other words, in the earth, we think this is a long time in between. But really, in perspective of God, of much written in the Old Testament, all the things of the Messiah came long times after. We're living in a short period of time. Just think of it. We're on the end of this thing. We're on to the end. We know it's close because of the president God's put in office. He just said here. We just read the prophecy. This prophecy is about the return of Jesus Christ and the rise of America again as nationally. We have it. We're living in it now. We're close to the return of Jesus Christ. We're living in the fulfillment. Do you think Obama would have had some minister come down and do miracles in front of him? I'll tell you what. Trump will hair-lip all them guys down there, all them politicians, Republicans and Democrats, because he'd call a guy down to do one. He don't care what the rest of, he's that kind of a man. You need to understand. You'd be glad we have that. See, people think he's rude, he does dumb things. They don't realize. We need a guy in there who is not like every. We don't need Ed Gibson as president. You don't need Ed Gibson. We need somebody that God has chosen and God's anointed, and it may not seem to us is the right looking thing. We don't walk by what looks right. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. We have a prophecy here, and there's been other prophecies concerning these things here, concerning Donald Trump. And the Lord spoke to me. He woke me up early in the morning, and then he told me I was supposed to talk about these things today. I really hadn't planned at all about going this direction, but he told me I was supposed to do this. Is why he said, I want the people to hear these words and begin to believe these words and say these words. Begin to speak concerning, this is where America is coming back. Donald Trump said he's going to make America great again. You need to understand this about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, I heard him say with his own mouth, he said he believed since he was a kid that he was going to be president of the United States. He said, I've always believed I'd be a president of the United States. Now, nothing fit for him to be naturally to work in that direction or work out. It was nothing natural. Yet he had that in him. He didn't walk around like most Christians. He believed he was. And he always acted like he's going to. Had times he ran for president before. Remember how they made fun of him? Remember they made fun of him before? And now he's president of the United States, and all the idiots who know everything, all the genius politicians we have to put up with, all these guys sitting around, they were all wrong. Still trying to do their own old way because they still believe they're right. But there's a difference between the man that God put in them. God is backing him. God's not backing the Republican Party. You need to understand this. God is not behind the Republican Party. The Republican Party ain't been nothing but a bunch of liars. They're worse than the Democrats. And I'm just going to tell you why, in the judgment and eyes of God, is because they have told us they know the right things to do, and they have refused to do it. They get into office telling us the right things. The Democrats just told us they were going to lie, cheat, and take from us. They told us that what they were going to do. They're more honest than the Republicans have been. The Republicans told us all the things they were going to do. They did here in the state, too. All these things they were going to do. Oh, we're going to get rid of all these, all this property tax and all that. They've been running on that thing for how many years? They had the House, the Senate, they did have the governor and everything, did nothing. And I'm going to tell you what, they're do nothing. Unless there's something miraculous happen, these guys ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to do nothing. You can't use intellect with these people. It isn't about intellect. It's praise God. Either move them, kill them, do something, get somebody, scare the hell out of them. And I'm talking literally scare the hell because they follow hell. Scare the hell out of them. Do something. Hallelujah. God, turn the bull loose in the china closet. Let him tear it up some more. We need something in there that is just going to shake things around. It's not comfortable for people. I want you to, folks, get a hold of this. People are not comfortable. They're all, talking about this Korean thing. I'm going to tell you, fear not. We've been told with this prophecy, these things are to come, and don't be afraid. I have no fear or anxiety about this thing with Korea at all. I have no fear or anxiety. Don't worry me. People say, what if we get that as a nuclear war? God's already promised to protect Ed Gibson. I believe it. Ed Gibson ain't leaving by nuclear war. I want you to understand that. God has already talked to me how I'm leaving. Nuclear war wasn't on the agenda. I'm not talking or moving in that direction. There are Christians can say those things, but then they'll go trying to protect themselves like they're going to be in a nuclear war. And they'll start talking the rot. It's fear not. Don't be afraid of what you see coming on in the earth. Jesus Christ said that men's hearts will fail them for the fear of the things that are coming on the earth. You cannot stand spiritually in this day and time if you're going to be afraid. You can't stand. You'll go under. You can't stand. The Word of God is what upholds us. I don't care what, I know what God has said and God has spoken over the years, and I've read the Bible. I'm standing. I ain't afraid. They can tell and put out their reports, and they can get all these analysts and go out there and tell us about all this stuff. They can say anything they want. I know the analyst. He's called the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of me. He don't live out there 400 trillion miles away from something. And I'm trying to get a hold of him. And I got to fast and pray to see if he'll talk to me. He lives inside of me. He done moved in. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing better. You got the Holy Ghost in you. Glory to God. I want to tell you, listen on the inside, you won't have fear. Fear is driven because your intellect, because you're sitting around thinking too much. You look on the inside. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Is the Holy Ghost going to be in there? Oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. What's going on? Ed, do you think we'll make it? I don't know. I don't. That's not happening, folks. Jesus Christ is coming for a glorious church. Hallelujah. Not an emaciated old hag, a prostitute he has to haul out of here because things are so bad, they can't make it. And there's only 7 leaving because, you know, just the rest of them just couldn't do it, couldn't make it. I'm going to tell you, it's a glorious church going. And they ain't going to be hiding. They're going to be walking around doing miracles. They're going to be doing all. I'm going to tell you what. They're going to be doing miracles till he comes back. When he shows up, it's going to be miraculous. It's just going to be part of the miracle that's going on at the time. Hallelujah. We're the glorious church. Jesus Christ declared it. That's what he's coming for. Will he not have it? Hallelujah. Is he coming back for a fearful church? No. Fearful church wouldn't be a glorious church, would it? Would it be come back for a church that's in a cave with their buckets of dried food? Bought from Jim Baker. I'll tell you, we just got them sitting in here and we got them all down in here in the cave. I'll tell you what, they might come and get us. Glory to God, come and get me. Hallelujah. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. I'm saying, look, we need to, this stuff is going, these people are openly doing these things out here. So I'm not saying something, just they're doing things, but it's going against what God is saying and even telling them. Jim has had guys on his show and he said he believed what they said. He's acting opposite of what they said. We need to understand this, folks. With God, if it's the word of the Lord and it's true, then we got to start acting like it's true. And when the Lord woke me up, if he go down the bit to wake me up, this is important. We need to take this prophecy and we need to take it as true and start acting like it's true. Don't let fear get into you what's going on around here. God is setting things up for a miracle, folks. For miracle after miracle. He said they're just going to become prevalent. And then he said, and more prevalent. Well, it would be one thing. It was prevalent. It would be good, wouldn't it? What if it becomes more prevalent? You know what that means? All the time. It's going to be happening all the time. It's going to be a constant. Hallelujah. We're in the days of the miraculous, folks. We're not trying to go there. We're there. We're living in it. We're living in the fulfillment of this prophecy. It was spoken for us today. Hallelujah. We're in the day, dear Lord. We ought to be shouting some darn glad. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Things are looking good. These are the days that I've dreamed for. These are the days when I came in the kingdom I was looking for. Because the Lord spoke to me about these days that would come. And I saw myself in these days. Hallelujah. But they seem just so long off. But they ain't long off no more. Hallelujah. We waited and stayed faithful. And just kept walking faithful. And didn't turn aside to the left and to the right. We didn't do that. We kept walking. I'll tell you what. We're going to step right into the glory we always wanted. Hallelujah. We're going to step right into the middle of it. Because it's ours. It was given to us by Jesus. And his hand's going to be on us. Hallelujah. God will do miracles, signs, and wonders through our hands. Hallelujah. We're the people of God. We're the ones he's looking for to do it through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How do you turn this off? Stand to your feet. Ah, God. I don't know about you. I'm excited. Hallelujah. I was so glad Mike told me about this prophecy. I read the whole thing. It was nice seeing excerpts from it, but boy, to read the whole thing was absolutely wonderful. I'm glad Billy Broom dug that one out. Hallelujah. Because we need to hear these things. God's speaking to us today. You're a Christian. You're not a nobody. You're a somebody. God is your protection. Don't worry about what's going on. The prophecy told us. God's going to take care of the church. Church, don't have to worry. God's taking care of you. I don't care what men says. God's taking care of you. He chose to take care of you. He's the one that saved you and redeemed you. He's a good, God is a good daddy. He's going to let his kids hang out there and everything go wrong after they've walked with him and everything else and then treat them like they're no good. I want to tell you what, God is going to vindicate the church in these last days. And there'll be many mouths that will be shut. There's some mouths will be shut because they'll be judged and they'll die. And there's mouths that will shut because they will realize they're wrong. And they'll turn and come and walk with Christ. They have been the enemies of the cross, but they won't always stay enemies of the cross. They'll turn and come and walk. Hallelujah. Because they will see. They will see that the Word of God is true. Not just here. They're going to see that the Word of God is true. Hallelujah. There's many people in the Christian camp aren't going to go anywhere till they see the Word of God is true. They can't, they walk by sight. They're going to have to see. They're going to, God is going to reach out to them and give them sight to His glory. And they're going to see His glory. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for the church of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for all those who believe on the name of Jesus, who have called out on that wonderful name for salvation.